Let's pray, because we're talking about peace tonight, and I feel like, you know, in 9/11, when 9/11 happened, how many of you were in, like, your 20s when 9/11 hit, when you're 20s? Yeah. How many of you were younger than that? You were alive, but you were younger than that. Yeah, so how many of you were not even born? Someone raised their hand. Is that okay, a couple people raised their hand, yeah. So, yeah, 9/11... You know, and listen, for those of us who were here for that and experienced that, there was this, it was the first time in my life as a young person that I ever felt like America was vulnerable. Anyone else there? You know, if you were alive during when they bombed Pearl Harbor and things like that, you probably felt a similar way to that. You know, you probably felt like there was almost like a vulnerability to America. But for me growing up, I didn't live through Pearl Harbor, so I wasn't around, you know what I mean? And I wasn't around when Kennedy got shot. And I wasn't, you know what I mean? There's things I wasn't around for, but I was around for 9/11. And I remember like the craziness of how that felt, right? And the inward turmoil that people were experiencing. And it's just interesting that today we're talking about peace. And look, we didn't plan that, right? But how good. So let's pray that God gives me something to say. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, your word says that you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And so, Lord, we pray that tonight, Lord God, that you would speak to our minds, to our hearts, to our souls, Lord God, that we would understand what this peace that the Spirit is trying to bring to us, Lord God, that we would understand it in a way that maybe we never have before. And Lord, we pray for revival in our own hearts, Lord God, that we would not take this lightly, but that we'd hear from you, God. We are in desperate need of you to speak to us, Lord God. If you don't speak, we perish. Lord, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would speak tonight, Lord God. Worthy are you, God. Glory to you, God, Lord. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our praise. And Lord, we just ask that you'd have your way tonight, for we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen. So we're in Galatians chapter 5, right? The fruit of the Spirit. And remember so 2 weeks ago, it was love, right? And this love is not a love that's a feeling or emotion driven, right? It's a love that's based on action, right? 1 John tells us that don't love merely in word only, but in deed and action and in truth, right? So love should be in action and in truth, right? Joy, talked about joy last week, and we talked about how everything that the Spirit is wanting to produce in us has to come about through situations. Listen, if you want to know how to love somebody that's unlovable, you're going to have somebody unlovable in front of you. Some of you might be married to them, right? Don't raise your hand, but like, you know, but some of you did that little glance thing where you're like, you have your arm around him in the back, he's not looking at you, you're like, looking at him. Anyway. But like, so you're gonna have people in your life that's hard to love. If you struggle with joy and you need joy, remember, joy is something that's enduring, lasting, it's inward, it's something that Jesus is producing in us, and our joy needs to be focused on something that is enduring, lasting. Otherwise, anything and everything can take it away, right? So it needs to be focused on something that is lasting, enduring, right? Joy is based on something that's lasting and enduring. Happiness is based on happenings. A lot of people can be happy, but joy is something that goes beyond that. And it's in the midst of your hardships that joy arises. And then we have peace. If you're going to have peace in your life, you're going to have moments that aren't peaceful. Because otherwise, how is the Spirit going to produce it in you? Listen, how many of you in here lift weights again? I know there's a few of you in here. Yeah, a couple of you all raised your hands. So when you're lifting weights, right, it's the struggle of the weight lift, right? But you have to lift weights in order for your muscles to grow. Like, no one goes to a gym and goes, you know what, I'll just watch everybody else. You know, I'm going to get my muscles from just watching that guy.
You know, no, it doesn't happen that way, right? You have to actually do something, right? And in order for the Spirit of God to produce in you the things he's wanting to produce in you, you're going to have to go through something that's not peaceful in the moment so that you can learn to be at peace. So, first question I have for you is, what does it mean to be at peace? What does it mean to be at peace? Now, we all know of moments of peace, right? We've all had those moments of like, I feel at rest. I feel, you know, some of you like to go and just look at nature and you're like, oh, just, this is where I feel at peace. You know what I mean? Like, but when you go, but when you get out of that moment, all of the world starts coming back at you. You know what I mean? Some of you might be wrestling with an addiction and you think that the addiction is actually bringing you peace when it isn't, right? And so you run to it and for a moment you feel okay, but then when you leave it, it takes you back over and then you need it again to feel the way you did in that moment. It's not real peace. So what does it mean to be at peace? Peace is this inward reality that exists apart from your circumstances. And then, why do we wrestle with being at peace? I don't even have to answer that question, right? In every one of our minds, something just went off, right? Why do I wrestle with being at peace? Why do you wrestle with being at peace? Well, because something came into my life, right? And everything started freaking out. And so I started freaking out, right? And then worry came, anxiety came, stress came, right? You may be sitting in here right now thinking about the thing that taking away your peace. And even as I'm speaking right now, you're going, yeah, I'm feeling that. I got the anxiety going on. I'm worried, right? So we know what that feels like. We know the emotion of that. And look, we remember last week we talked about how our the good that God intended for us because of sin has been distorted, right? And so our peace has been, listen, everyone wants, okay, not everyone wants peace. Most people want peace, though, in their life. But there are some people whose idea of peace is so distorted that their view of peace is actually making turmoil for others. Come on. There are some people who just want to watch it burn because their idea of peace is distorted. But you can't let that steal yours. We say we believe in God, but our actions don't show that we trust him. So everyone in this room would say, I believe in God, but your actions aren't proving that, right? Do you believe that what you believe is really real? Do you believe right now? Listen, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, right? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord, right? Now, King Uzziah was a good king. He was a great king. He was a godly king. He dies. All of Israel's freaking out. Right? Because like Americans, they kind of had their view, they kind of had their hope in the king. Come on. Listen. Every election year, the same thing happens. I hear this all the time from Christians. Oh no. What are we gonna do? What are we going to do? You freak out like everyone else does. Listen, you know who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't freak out like the rest of the world does. Listen, I know who sits on the throne of all thrones. I know that God, and I know that he's in control whoever he puts in government. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it is a rebuke to us. Sometimes it's a, you've turned your eyes so far away from me, I'm sending this person so that you would hopefully realize your error and turn back to me. Sometimes it's a chastisement. Listen, all throughout Israel's history, and I'm not saying Israel and America are the same or blah, 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 I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is all throughout, but we can't take moral and spiritual bread from the Old Testament and eat it. Israel would have good kings rise up, and they'd feel great about it, They would turn back to the Lord. Then they would start to forget God and go, whatever, we don't care anymore. And then a bad king would rise up and they'd be like, oh, shoot, you know, we've messed up. Listen, our hope is not in who's going to be president next. Our hope goes way beyond that. And if it doesn't, you're too American and not Christian enough. And I don't care if you write me an email about that. We say we believe in God, but our actions don't show it. Jesus said this. He said, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink or wear, right? For the body is more than food, or for the stomach is more than food, and the body is more than clothing, right? He's like, everyone chases after those things, but you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things be added onto you. But he says you don't worry. So worry is a sin. He's like, do not worry. And what's the one thing we're good worriers, dude. We're so good at worrying, they have pills made to help you not worry. Okay? Like, listen, it's like a sickness. They're like, you don't want to worry anymore? Here, take this. This will make you feel. Now, listen, if you got to take pills, like, listen, I'm not a doctor. All I'm saying is, like, that's how much we worry, though. And listen, there's a remedy for our anxiety and our worry and our stress, and it's not in you getting bogged down with the things that you have no control over. It's in you handing those things over to the one who has complete control and going, I trust you with it. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how I'm going to feel. I don't know how it's going to be. Everything's going to turn out, but I trust you with the outcome. That's how peace comes. Do not be anxious. This is the next verse, Philippians 4:6. I love this verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you should underline that in your Bible, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I went through a spout of depression and anxiety for 2 years. As a pastor, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, I had gotten encephalitis, almost died, and it threw me into this tailspin. And God needed me to go through it so I could learn to be at peace. Because I would have said at that point, like, I'm at peace with the Lord. Like, I'm good. Like, I got this figured out. Like, I'm okay. You know what I mean? That happened, though, and I was like, nothing's okay anymore. Nothing's okay. The sky didn't look real. The door didn't look, nothing. Everything felt completely unreal to me. And I remember I remember praying for 2 years. My wife was like, dude, what is going on with you? And I'm like, I can't get out of this, babe. I can't get out of it. I don't know why I'm here. People were trying to give me drugs, like not drugs, but trying to give me like anxiety medicine. And I was like, listen, I'm going through this for a reason. Like I'm not going to, but so I'm going through this. And through it all, God was like, dude, because God says dude to me, but just joking. He said, Aaron, you don't trust me. You just think you trust me. And it hurt. Sometimes God speaks to us and it hurts because you're like, oh, Lord, only you could have told me that in that way. And so I took this verse, go back to Philippians 4. I took this verse and I said, Lord, your word is true. Everything about your word is true. And so if your word is true, this word is true. You tell me not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's deep groaning. It's the idea of coming before God with deep moans and kind of be like, God, make your requests be made known, well, with thanksgiving. That word right there, thanksgiving. This is where it all changed for me. Because up to that point, I had the prayer part down. I had the supplication part down because I was like screaming out to God. But I started thinking, so the minute that anxiety would start to stir up in me, I would go, God, thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my life. Thank you for calling me into ministry. Thank you for everything you're doing. And you know what happened? Here's why worry and anxiety comes upon you. Because your mind is focused on what is not real. It's focused on what could be. And it's focused on all the things that you think might happen. But when you start thanking God, your focus is on everything that is. You know what happened? Peace of God came flowing over me. And the anxiety went away. I've not had an anxiety attack for years. I can't even tell you. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Listen, this is a kind of a command, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. But what we do is when the situation comes or the hardship comes, we do the opposite. Okay. Mark 4:36. All right, here we go. So I've read this a bunch of times, but I just felt like this part in the life of Jesus when he was here on this earth was just, we couldn't pass it up. So leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. So a storm arose on the ocean. You guys remember this story? You guys remember? All right. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. So I don't know if you've been on a boat. Who in here has been on a boat? We live in Florida. Yeah. How many of you are scared of boats? Hey, nice. Way to you know, represent. Anyway, so like, I'm good with boats, but when one starts filling up with water, I'm not so good with a boat anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm fine with a boat as long as the boat is floating. Have you ever been kayaking or like canoeing? And you know, like when you're in a canoe, because they're not stable, if you're in there with anybody else, the whole time you're thinking, listen, don't rock the boat. Or they move like a little bit and you're like, hold on. Because you don't want to flip out. The whole point of being in a boat is that it stays afloat and that you don't drown. That's the whole point of a boat. Whole point of a boat. So the disciples are hanging out with Jesus in the boat and it starts filling up with water. So Jesus himself was, Jesus is asleep on a cushion. I like how they put on a cushion. Like, we needed that information. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, make sure that he's really asleep. Like, he's having a good nap. You know what I mean? He has a pillow, a blankie. He's good, you know? And they woke him and said to him, teacher, Do you not care that we are perishing? So listen, at this point, it's so bad. I mean, in my mind, the apostles, they got buckets of water. They're like shooting it out. They haven't woken up Jesus yet. They're like, we think we can handle this. You know, and this is what you do too, right? Your boat starts filling up with water and you're like, I think I got this, Lord. I think I got this, you know? And Jesus is just like, okay. You know what I mean? Like hanging out there waiting for you to get it together, right? And so like, What's crazy about this is what Jesus says to them. So he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. Now that's crazy, crazy. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Because the boat is filling up with water. What do you mean? And then he says, do you still have no faith? What? What's crazy about this is, aren't we supposed to go to Jesus when things go crazy in our life? But what's more important is taking our position from his position. Taking our response from his response. They don't do that. What they do is, we're gonna die. You don't care. You need to do something about this. How many of us have said that in our own life to Jesus? Come on. How many of you have looked at Jesus in your own life and gone, Jesus, everything right now is going crazy. You don't care. So you need to do something about this. And listen, there are times in your life where you feel like Jesus is asleep in your boat, man. Right? Where you're like, God, I'm not hearing you. God, I'm speaking to you, but I'm not sensing that you're hearing me. And you feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat. But you know what Jesus is saying to you? He's saying, listen, I'm not as concerned about this as you are. If I'm in the boat, do you think I'm going to let it go down with me in it? He's in your boat. There are moments when the storms of this life are going to be so crazy that you don't know what to do. And there's going to come moments in that time where Jesus seems like he's asleep. And all he's asking you to do is curl up next to him and trust. The problem is we go to him and we go, Lord, don't you care? Do you know how insulting that is to say to the one who made you? Don't you care that we drown? Jesus is in the boat. And he's peace. Being at peace means when everything around, listen, Jesus is at perfect peace, dude. Homeboy's asleep in the stern on a cushion. And he's just like, hey, my father's just rocking me to sleep, man. This storm's for me, man. The storms of your life do not have to be things that overtake you because Jesus is in your boat. More, you're in his boat. Let's put it that way. The Lord wants you to have peace in him, and it comes by trusting him in every circumstance. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16:33. He says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And Jesus in real time in this situation is showing his disciples, listen, in me, I want you to have peace in me. In this world you're gonna have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In John 14, he says to his disciples, he says, listen, my peace I leave with you, I do not give to you as the world gives. So there's a worldly peace that everyone's seeking after. And Jesus is going, dude, the peace that I have for you is so much greater and so much more resting and inward that no matter what you're going through, you can be at a stable of rest. You can be at a place of rest. That's crazy. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. So Jesus' message to you, if you feel burdened, is to come to him. And he says, I will give you rest for your souls. The Lord wants you to have peace that cannot be shaken by outward circumstances. Listen, the Lord wants you to have peace that cannot be shaken by outward circumstances. But in order for that fruit of peace to be produced in you, you're gonna have to go through things that aren't peaceful. None of those disciples thought they were gonna make it. None of them. They thought, Jesus is drowning, we're drowning, none of us are making it out of this thing alive. And Jesus is like, I got you, bro. I got you. True peace starts with knowing God and being known by him. If you're not at peace with God, then you cannot be at peace within yourself. Listen, you were created by him and for him. So I don't know where you're at, right? I don't know what you're thinking. I can tell you this, you're going to seek for peace in every single thing you could possibly get your hands on, and you aren't going to find it because the only place you were meant to find it is in the one who made you. And he has made a way in which for you to be at peace with him. When you and I jacked up the story, Jesus stepped into the story and says, I'll fix it all. And then by faith in him, he gives you new life. And he puts you on the track that you were always meant to be on, at peace with God. But your pursuit of peace is distorted, and the only one who can change it is him. So where's your peace? Where does it really lie? What is it that you've been seeking after, searching after? Let's pray. Lord, you remind us in your word that you are the Lord of peace and that you want to give us peace at all times and in every way. Lord, I pray that this peace that you want to give us, Paul writes about it in Galatians, and Lord, I can't help but think that he had the word shalom in mind, completeness, that we would be brought to complete, that everything we brought to completeness, Lord God, and that we would be whole, created and recreated in your image, to bear the image of Christ. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have worried and we couldn't do anything about it. Lord, I don't know, Lord God, you know what everyone in this room is dealing with. You know everyone's storm. The boat is rocking, the water is rising, the water is coming into the boat. But Lord, may we not be afraid of what the rest of the world is afraid of, but may we trust you in the midst of our storm. And may we surrender ourselves fully to you, knowing that in you and you alone is peace. And Lord, let us echo what Isaiah says. In Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's that simple, Lord. Do we really believe that you are who you say you are? Do we really believe that you can handle everything? Lord, we surrender ourselves to your will. Help us tonight to live in peace, Lord. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.